Good morning.
Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 15. Okay, 2 Kings 15. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, became king. He was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done, only the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense on the high places. And the Lord struck the king so that he was a leper to the day of his death. And he lived in a separate house while Jotham, the king's son, was over the household, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Azariah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Jotham his son became king in his place. In the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, became king over Israel in Samaria for 6 months. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done, and he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. Then Shalom, the son of Jabesh, conspired against him and struck him before the people and killed him and reigned in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Zechariah, behold, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? This is the word of the Lord which he spoke to Jehu, saying, your sons, the fourth generation, shall sit on the throne of Israel. And so it was. Shalom, son of Jabesh, became king in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Judah, and he reigned 1 month in Samaria. Then Menahem, son of Gadi, went up from Tirzah and came to Samaria and struck Shalom, son of Jabesh, in Samaria and killed him and became king in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Shalom and his conspiracy which he made, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. Then Menahem struck Tifsah, Anahur in it and his borders from Tirzah because he did not open to him. Therefore he struck it and he ripped up all its women who were with child. The 39th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Menahem, son of Gadi, became king over Israel and reigned 10 years in Samaria. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart all his days from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. Pul, king of Assyria, came against the land, and Menahem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver so that his hand might be with him to strengthen the kingdom under his rule. Then Menahem exacted the money from Israel, even from all the mighty men of wealth, from each man 50 shekels of silver to pay the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria returned and did not remain there in the land. Now the rest of the acts of Menahem and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Menahem slept with his fathers, and Pekahiah, his son, became king in his place. In the 50th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekahiah, son of Menahem, became king over Israel and Samaria and reigned 2 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. Then Pekah, son of Remaliah, his officer, conspired against him and struck him in Samaria in the castle of the king's house with Argob and Ariah, and with him were 50 men of the Gileadites, and he killed him and became king in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Pekahiah and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. In the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah, son of Remaliah, became king over Israel in Samaria and reigned 20 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin. In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came and captured Ijon and Abel-Beth-Makkah and Jeno and Kadesh and Hazor and Gilead, in Galilee, in the land of Naphtali, and he carried them captive to Assyria. And Hoshea, the son of Elah, made a conspiracy against Pekah, the son of Remaliah, and struck him and put him to death, and became king in his place in the 20th year of Jotham, son of Uzziah. Now, the rest of the acts of Pekah and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. In the 2nd year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, became king. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Only the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense on the high places. He built the upper gate of the house of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah. In those days, the Lord began to send Rezin, king of Aram, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, against Judah. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and he was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. And Ahaz, his son, became king in his place. Amen. So you have an interesting episode. You have a bunch of different kings of Israel, and then you have Azariah, or these typically more named as Uzziah. And so this happens. Now, you'll notice there was a little lag of time as Uzziah becomes king. And most likely it's because, remember, his father was murdered before that. And then there was 12 or so years, and there was probably a magistrate that was in charge until Uzziah could reach a certain age, and then he became king. So that accounts for the time lag from the chapter before this one here. So Uzziah here, in verse 3, he did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done, but only the high places were not taken away. Now, there's a lot to the story that we're missing here, because the next thing you know, we realize that he became a leper. And so, again, these 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings are really more summaries of events that take place through this time. More detail happens in the Chronicles, and that's why they keep alluding to that. And so just to give you an idea of what Uzziah did, it was really sad. Uzziah did a lot of good things, and he built towers. He built towers all over Israel, all over Judah. But then, as it happens to a lot of people, we're talking about this yesterday a bit, he started getting really proud of what he did. And he got so proud that he went into the temple, and he started performing the sacrifice that was only supposed to be performed by the Levites. So he goes in, he starts doing these things, he's got the censers, and then the Levites come in and they say, "Oh, king, you can't do that." And the king gets really upset because he's so full of himself, he's so full of pride, he goes beyond his boundaries. In this regard, he goes beyond his pay level. And right then and there, the leprosy appears. It appears on his forehead, and then for the rest of his life. And so leprosy back in these days was particularly Old Testament. Some in the New Testament, but particularly in the Old Testament, it was primarily a judgment from God. And he came and he judged a person, usually according to their sins. And it was a mark of rejection. It was a mark of shame and all kinds of stuff. They could not relate to people now, so he had to live in a separate quarters, even though he was still king. And then we see that he basically ends up propping his son to be a judge during this time. And so, I mean, it's really horrible. Again, we talk about the folly of pride and how careful we need to be in this regard. You know, when good things happen in our lives, the best way to make sure that we don't fall into pride is to be grateful, is to be thankful, is to and thanksgiving more like, "God, thank you for what you've allowed me to do." Thanksgiving is really a place of humility in that way. You're thanking God, which means that you realize that you can't really take credit for this. And unfortunately, Uzziah was not thankful, and he was filled with pride, and it led to his demise. And so that happens there. And then you get to Zechariah, that happens here. And Zechariah, again, another line of evil kings. And remember what Jehu says. Jehu prophesied, and he says, because of David, you know, because the Lord's choosing, you're going to basically have four generations. And that's exactly what happens. You have Jehoaz, Joash, Jehoram, and then Zechariah. And so this is four generations. And so after this, it's done. And Josephus makes it a point to say that most likely this is what stirred the ambitions of Menahem in this place to strike the king, I'm sorry, Shallum here, and then Menahem afterwards, to conspire and strike the king. And so there goes that line is now gone, according to the prophetic word. And then next thing you know, Shallum comes, but his reign is very, very short. And then you have, so 13 says he reigned for 1 month for that regard. And then you have the next king, Menahem, that comes in. And Menahem, you'll notice that he reigns a little bit longer because he was ruthless. This guy, now remember, most of these things that happen here is because they're men or someone rises up to kill them. But Menahem was ruthless. And you get a little part of that. He comes in and he goes to the border to Tipsah, and they did not open the door to him. And so, in other words, they did not welcome him as king in this regard. And so he kills everybody. I mean, the word says he struck it and he ripped up all its women who are with child. And so this guy killed men, killed women, killed children, even killed babies that were in the womb. I mean, this guy was ruthless. And so you get the idea of his reign that happens there. And he reigns for 10 years as a result. And, you know, and then it just goes on and on and on, all these guys, each one after another. Over and over again, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. I'm talking about the kings of Israel. They follow after Jeroboam. Now, notice they have no connection to Jeroboam now. That seed is gone. But yet they still follow. The sin, it was so strong in that land that whoever ruled just automatically followed along in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And each one comes in, I mean, just do horrible things in the eyes of the Lord. And then it just finishes off with Jotham, the king of Judah, that also, you know, does right in the sight of the Lord, but yet not fully. And that becomes a tragedy of Judah. So Judah lasts a little bit longer than Israel. Israel goes into captivity much earlier, but eventually Judah will also go into captivity, and it will primarily be because of that point. They were good, but yet not with their whole heart. And they were good, but they did not get rid of the idolatry that was in Judah. And so they just last a little bit longer, but their fate is just the same as the fate of Israel. And so that should really speak to us a little bit. And I talked about this yesterday a bit about being good, being decent, but yet not giving God our whole heart. And when we look at that and you look at the kings of Israel, the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of Judah, when we just go through the motions, or when we, in this regard, do what's right in the sight of the Lord, but yet not with our whole heart, all you're doing is buying a little bit more time. The end result is still the same. Judgment in that regard. Israel, remember, I mean, Israel and, I should have done the math before I came up here, but I don't know, a couple hundred years or maybe less than that afterwards. I'll give you the real amount later on. But the other guys, Israel much sooner enters into captivity. And it's a sad fate of when this happens here in this place. Amen? All right, so let's close our eyes. Let's go back to Uzziah and his pride again. One of the things that pride does is it makes us delusional. It makes us think that we have permission to do stuff that we don't. I'm sure David was full of pride when he took Bathsheba. He thought, I'm king. I'm the man. Oh, yeah, I can do this thing. Just like Uzziah thought, wow, I'm such a great king. Surely I can go in the temple and do what God has forbidden for a non-Levite to do. Pride makes us delusional in that regard. Pride makes us think that, oh, I am the exception. That's why pride is so dangerous. Pride is the heart of our enemy. Remember, he was kicked out of heaven because his pride was lifted up, Lucifer. And this is a good time for us to ask the Holy Spirit if there's any pride in our life. Are there any areas where I'm not giving thanks to the Lord? Maybe I'm taking credit for myself. You know, for myself as a pastor, you know, I preach a good sermon. I could leave the pulpit thinking that, wow, it's my good preparation and my good oratory skills led to this result, which is absolute folly. But maybe in your work, you close a deal. Oh, it's my intellect and my connections and my background. Don't let pride derail us in our pursuit of God. I ask the Holy Spirit this morning to search our hearts and see if there's any pride lurking there.
You're the reason that You're the reason that I sing. I desire to be a blessing in your eyes. Every hour and every moment, Lord, I want to be your servant. I desire to be a blessing in your eyes. In your eyes.
Let's pray, Let's pray the prayer of David, Psalm 139. Search me and try me, O God, and see if there be any hurtful thing within me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Say, Lord, Holy Spirit, highlight any areas of pride in my life. Maybe pride over my job, my work, my appearance. Pride over my relationships. Lord, anything that you see, Lord, please show me today. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray over our community. Let's pray as our friends and family are battling cancer and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray over our community that is ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray that God would reveal himself. Let's pray for our community that's ill with non-cancer-related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Thank you. Let's pray for our sister. She looks for a work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Japan. Let's ask God to breathe His Spirit over this land. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to empower her, not only just in language learning, but in her ministry. Let's also pray for New York. Pray for Chris and Amy and SPNY. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to continue to lead the ministry there. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's lift up Grace and our new venture, as well as Oasis House with Pastor Jenny. Let's just cover these countries, these cities, and our friends ministering there. Let's pray over our missions council. Let's pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come over them, a real heart of diligence to lead our church and our missions. Let's just pray for God's hand upon them. Let's cover our local outreach ministries, Agape, HOMI, SP Lights, Freedom Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray for our leaders and our volunteers and that God would strengthen them up, encourage them in the midst of their sacrifice and hard work. But also pray over the people that they encounter, that they would just really be encountering the risen Christ as they gather together. Let's pray for SP Fam. This is our foster and adoption ministries. And let's lift up Cadence. And now let's pray for our one baby that we have now, Kawe. Let's ask for the Lord to strengthen him and continue to draw him to you. Pray for Nellie and Stuart as well. We have a big initiative in October coming up with Robert Glover speaking. And so let's just pray for a real fruitful time. Pray for our gatherings tonight, SPU, IP, and EG. Let's pray for the classes and the meetings. Let's pray for our leaders and our students that are involved in these classes. And let's pray that we really hear from the Lord and really meet with God tonight. And lastly, let's pray for House Church, Elements, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead and guide, and a real anointing would happen in our meetings tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, this morning. Lord, we pray that you'd watch over us. Lord, the Bible says that pride comes before the fall, Lord. And so, God, I pray, God, that you would convict us of our pride, Lord, before any judgment, God, or any necessary things would happen, Lord, to lead us out of it. And I pray, Lord, for the conviction of the Spirit to run so strong in our lives, God. And there'll be such a spirit of gratitude, Lord. God, would you be gracious with us today, Lord, as we seek to honor your Son in all that we do and say. Watch over us, Lord. God, we love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you over the weekend in our services.